If you have your Bibles, please continue in worship by turning to Colossians, the third chapter. Kyle read a few verses a few minutes ago, our passage this morning. Our central verse this morning is verse 15 of chapter 3, which says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." I want you to know this morning I have so much to be thankful for, as you do as well, but I'm standing here facing you, so I'm going to tell you what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful our youngest son, Cameron, is with us this morning. Cameron pastors Iron City Church in Birmingham, and so he doesn't get down here with us on Sundays very often, but I'm thankful to have my youngest son with us, and Cameron is a joy. Never thought I'd say that, but you're a joy. I've said many times, if Cameron had been born first, he'd be an only child. But I love that man. He is a man of God. Thank you. And he surprised us, I'll say that. So I got nervous when I saw the pastor from Iron City walk in. So I'm so thankful. And I know we have a lot of guests with us today. So just bear with me for a few minutes. I shared with you our plans a couple weeks ago. I was going to preach here at Alberta through November. Then we were going to be on vacation for a couple of weeks of December. And then we'll return after our vacation to celebrate the holidays here at ABC. But we will be stepping down as co-pastor here at Alberta. So this is my last opportunity to stand in this pulpit and thank you. So please bear with me for a few minutes. I may ramble. I heard the story of one preacher who got in the pulpit and started preaching and preaching and preaching and rambling and rambling. And he didn't know how to close it out. So he just said, well, Jesus brought me here and Jesus will take me away. And the choir stood up and sang, "What a friend we have in Jesus." So I know that you will be saying that at the end, but I really don't want this to be about anything or anybody but our Lord this morning. And so I can't help but be thankful to the Lord for all that he's done in our life and our ministry. I've said over the years, being thankful is a life changer. I didn't realize that till several years ago, but I realized you cannot be genuinely thankful and angry at the same time. It's impossible. You cannot be genuinely thankful and jealous or bitter at the same time. But I have learned this week, you can be genuinely thankful and sad at the same time. There's a sadness, I think, that comes when you love people and we love you. But I have learned to be genuinely thankful for all that the Lord has done for us. I'm so thankful this morning for those who are here with us today who were a part of Open Door Baptist Church for 8 years prior to moving here. You stayed with us. You endured with us. You were faithful. And I know two churches have become one, but I want to thank you, those who came from Open Door. Thank you for your faithfulness to me and as your friendship, and what a privilege to serve with you. I'm so thankful for those who were at Alberta Baptist Church who received us with open arms 5 years ago this month. I don't know if everybody knew, but I was at the business meeting when you discussed, I think for the last time before you had your vote, I was in the business meeting when you discussed the merger. And I know there were misgivings about joining with another church, and I understand that. But I want you to know that to a person, all I've ever felt from Alberta Baptist Church was love and acceptance, and I'm so grateful for the way you have loved us. Thank you. I want to thank you for loving my wife. As John Piper said, a pastor really is a polygamist. We have two brides. I have a bride, my wife, and I have a bride, the church. And I'm so thankful that the two I love also love each other. They have done that very well. I'm so thankful to have served with godly men who have served with me over the years as deacons and elders. I had heard horror stories of deacons' meetings where men were angry and harsh words were spoken. I'm thankful that I can stand before you today and say, I've never been in a meeting like that. never been a part of a meeting like that because of the men who have surrounded us here at Alberta Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the opportunity to have served with this staff. Each of these staff members are very gifted. They have a genuine love for the Lord and His people, and Alberta Baptist Church is blessed to have the staff that you have. I'm especially thankful to have served with Pastor Colby. He is such a blessing. He reminds me of King David in the Bible. He is wide open. He has such an exuberance for the Lord. He has a passion for God, has a passion for truth. He has a passion for ministry, and he loves you dearly. And so I'm so thankful for all the things that I've learned from him, and I will miss him greatly. I will miss each of you. And as I said, I am sad, but I am thankful. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said, "Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time." I'm going to go through several things this morning that you've heard oftentimes over the last 13 years. I remember Coach Bryant used to give us the same pregame talk every week, so I figured if it worked for him, it'll work for me. We can repeat, okay? Time, make the most of your time. T-I-M-E-T, be thankful every day. Be thankful. That's the best way to start out your day. That's the most wise use of your time, is to spend time every day thanking the Lord. The I is to invest. Invest wisely. Only two things in this world last forever. Only two things in this world are eternal. What are they? The Word of God and the souls of men. Invest wisely. Every day, take some time to invest in God's Word, to hide God's Word in your heart, to read it, to study it, to memorize, to put God's Word into your life. Invest in other people. And that's really not that costly. It doesn't take that much. Many times, just to be a friend, just to shake hands, to give a warm greeting, to express love, to invest in other people. To follow, if God gives you opportunities to have gospel conversations, yes. But God's Word and the souls of men are eternal. T-I-M, guard your mind. So much of our life is impacted by the way we think and what we think about. The mind set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Isaiah said, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Whatsoever things are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, of good reputation, if anything worthy of excellence, let your mind dwell on these things. Let your mind, guard your heart and your mind. And then the E would be to exalt Christ. Exalt Christ. Do all in the name of Christ. Exalt him in your life. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We're going to take a break from our study of the Gospel of Mark, and we're in Colossians chapter 3. Kyle read our passage for us just a few minutes ago, so let's look at these verses together, beginning in verse 12. And you have in your worship guide there also an outline that I'll be using this morning. If you'd like to take notes or follow along, you can do that as well. We are thankful for many things. And let me stop and just thank the Lord now together. Father, thank you for the privilege of standing and proclaiming your word from this pulpit today. Father, I thank you for the men who have stood in this pulpit over the years and who have proclaimed boldly the good news of the gospel. Lord, I thank you that that tradition and that honor will continue in years to come, as this pulpit is committed to preaching the gospel, the good news of the gospel, to preaching the truth of your word with boldness and power. Father, thank you for that privilege today. Lord, I pray as we study your word together, as we proclaim your truth today, that you would open up our hearts, Lord, that we might see truth today. God, we pray that you would unite our hearts to fear your name, to believe, to trust. Give us a singleness of heart. And Lord, that you would satisfy our soul today from your word. We cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. May you satisfy, feed us today. Nurture us, Lord, through your word today. And Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says in verse 12, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved." What do we see? We see God's grace to be chosen of God. Those who have been chosen, those who have been made holy. We've been changed. We've been chosen. We've been changed. We've been loved by God. Why? Because we were so lovable. Not in the least. Not in the least. Paul tells us that all that we experience from God is not because of who we are, but because of who God is. It's because of God's grace. He's chosen us. He's loved us. He's changed us. We are holy and beloved because of what God has done in each of our lives today. I stand before you today as a testimony of God's amazing grace. All of us who know Christ today, we can take no claim on that position. We can take no claim on that great blessing. Paul said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." I want you to remember this. God's grace leaves no room for human pride. Paul asked the church at Corinth, he says, "What do you have that you did not receive?" And what's the answer? Nothing. Nothing. He has chosen us. As amazing as it is, we are the recipients of God's grace. We see this as consistent with God's character all throughout Scripture. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. Moses tells the nation of Israel, "The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you are more in number than any of the peoples, for you are the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Did you catch that? It was not because the nation of Israel was deserving. It was because for some amazing reason, God loved them. There's nothing about us that would cause God to call us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's all about his grace. Ephesians 2 verse 4, Paul says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ." God's grace. I'm so thankful for God's grace. He chose us. He loves us. He changed us. We are holy and beloved in Christ. Today, if you're a Christian, it's only by God's grace. God's grace. John Owen, the great Puritan writer, said the worst thought that a Christian can have toward God is the thought that God does not love me. He's given his only son to demonstrate that love. What more does he need to do? As his beloved, he has changed us. Notice what Paul says. He has given us a heart. We're to put on this heart, this new life in Christ, a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I know there, my mother can testify to this, but all the things that I am not, I am in Christ. Before Christ, I was all, these are just the opposite of who I am, but only by God's grace. By God's grace, he's given us a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That's the wardrobe we put on in Christ by his grace. By his grace, old things are passed away, new things have come. We're new creatures in Christ. By his grace, we bear with one another. We forgive one another. As God has forgiven us, as God has shown us grace, we show that grace to others. He chose us. He loves us. He forgives us. Forgiving each other just as the Lord has forgiven us. Let me tell you, just remind you, God didn't forgive us by just dismissing our sin. No, Christ died for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took our sin, gives us his righteousness. We take off our sin, we put on his righteousness. That's how we are holy and beloved of God. When God looks at the Father, looks at us, he looks at the righteousness of his Son, which has been imputed to us by his grace. He chose us, he loves us, forgives us because of his grace. If you're a Christian today, we should all be thankful for God's grace. If you're here today and you're not a believer in Christ, I want you to know that all of God's grace is available for you today by faith and trust in Jesus. I'm thankful for God's grace. We're to be thankful for God's love. God's love. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity. We've already mentioned God's grace and salvation, but his love for us doesn't stop there. Paul assures us in Romans 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We're not saved by our performance, nor are we loved by our performance. He does not give up on us. He is for you and not against you. As a matter of fact, we love because he first loved us. Paul says, beyond all these things, love is primary. Put on love. God's love for us is something to be thankful for. God's love for us. But also, Paul, I think specifically in this passage, is talking about God's love through us. You know, did you know that's how God loves other people? Through us? Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But it begins with love beyond all these things. I'm thankful today for God's love. Yes, that God loves me, but also God has poured his love into me for other people. He's poured his love into you so that we can love one another, which is the perfect bond of unity. Paul says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. Paul says to the church at Corinth, the love of Christ controls us. There's a love from Christ that we all have, and that binds us together as brothers and sisters. We talked about that family from Mark's gospel last Sunday. It's a new family. Jesus looked at the crowd and said, these are my brothers. These are my mothers. These are my sisters, because he knew those who would come to faith in him, we would be of the same family. It's a love that's demonstrated by a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. Church, that's what love looks like, the very things we see here in Scripture. Teresa and I are so blessed to have been loved like that by you. We're thankful for God's grace, thankful for God's love. Look at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. God's peace is a powerful thing. I'm so thankful that God has given us peace. God's peace in my life has been one of the greatest evidence to me of his presence in my life and of a changed life. Just won't bore you with a lot of details, but when I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with ulcers because I worried about everything. If you've ever had to drink Maalox, you know that's a terrible way to live. Chalky. But I had ulcers as a 15-year-old. And then I remember the first sign, the evidence of my salvation was when I gave my heart to Christ as a freshman over at the University of Alabama. I knelt and I gave my heart to the Lord in my dorm room. I laid down in my bed and I had peace in my life. I was at peace with God. Peter says that now I am protected by the power of God through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And in this you rejoice. You know, there's a peace that comes from knowing I'm in God's care. I'm protected by the power of God. And there's nothing more powerful than the power of God. God's peace is the presence of Christ in the midst of our struggle. The world's peace, as Jesus said, is an absence of trouble. But God's peace is being with us when we go through the difficult times. And notice how Paul says we are to let the peace of Christ rule if we will surrender by faith to the promises of God. His peace will rule. Paul says his peace will surpass all comprehension. His peace will stand guard over your heart and mind. When peace rules in our life, God's peace, our life changes. We can cast all our cares upon him because he does care for us. And we can experience his peace. Jesus said in John 16, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." 1 John 5:5, John says, "Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Amen. Jesus gives us peace because of his power. He's overcome the world. Hey, we're in his protective care. And he is with us and in us through his presence. Peace is something that money can't buy. I heard about a guy who was a real worrier. And so he hired somebody to worry for him. And so his buddy noticed that he was all of a sudden at total peace. He said, "How are you so peaceful?" He said, "Well, I pay a guy to worry for me." "Really?" He said, "How much do you pay a guy to do that?" He said, "I pay him $1,000 a week." He said, "Man, where do you get that kind of money?" He said, "That's his worry." So we don't have to pay somebody, but we have a God who says, "Cast all our cares upon him, and he will take care of us." I'm thankful for his peace that comes from the power of his presence. His presence, as we move through life, we can have his peace as we move in Christ. Teresa and I are sad, but we're thankful. And I want you to know we're at peace. We're peaceful. Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, God had gotten so fed up. He said, "I'm not even going to go with you guys. I'm tired of you guys." But in Exodus 33, 15, Moses says this to the Lord, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." God, if you're not with us, we don't want to go. And I want you to know, church, we have peace because we believe the Lord's leading us. But we have peace also because we know God is here. And God has great plans for this church. His peace is ours as his presence goes with us. We have his peace as we follow him. As we've said all along, go where you're sent. Stay where you're put. Give all you've got. And don't quit until you're through. We're at peace about our leaving. And we know that as we leave, God will lead us. And we have his peace, his presence for the next adventure in our lives. But we're at peace also about his leading you at Alberta Baptist Church in the coming days. We believe there are great things in store for this church. We're thankful today for God's grace, for his love, for his peace. Y'all got to listen a little faster. We're thankful for God's word, verse 16, okay? "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." We are thankful for God's word. I'm so thankful that early in my Christian life, someone instilled in me the importance of memorizing God's word, of studying God's word, of reading God's word, and most of all, of living out God's word. "Those who love thy law," Psalm 119, 165, "those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble." "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mind, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will find your way will be successful." Then you will find success. Joshua 1:8. Meditating, memorizing God's word. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against God." D.L. Moody said, "The Bible was not given to us to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives." The word of God regenerates our heart, renews our mind, and restores our soul. Rick Warren said, the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us like the Son of God. So church, I want to challenge you. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. And Paul says God's Word is not just for our own personal intake. His Word is to be the center of our fellowship. It's to be taught wisely, used to admonish one another, sung together with grateful hearts. As we said years ago when we began our ministry in Tuscaloosa, we want to preach the Word. We want to read the Word. We want to pray the Word. We want to sing the Word. We want to see the Word. And we see God's Word. We see the gospel through baptism and the Lord's Supper. The gospel is to be preeminent in all that we do, the preaching of God's Word. I'm thankful for God's Word. We should all be thankful for God's Word and treasure it in our heart. Let it richly dwell in our heart and be proclaiming it to one another. And let it be the center of our fellowship. Then lastly, we're thankful for God's calling. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Our calling is to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice what Paul said there in verse 4. Just notice this when Kyle was reading a while ago. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life. Paul said it best in Galatians 2, for I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ lives in me. If you're a Christian here today, say that with me. Christ lives in me. Christ, who is our life, when he's revealed, we'll be revealed with him. Do all, verse 17, in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? It means that his name is our identification. We belong to Christ. We no longer live for ourselves. We belong to Christ. We claim his name. We live for him. His name is our identification. His name is our authority. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. It is the name of Jesus. In his name, we have authority to walk, to live, to breathe, to minister, to share the gospel, to proclaim the gospel in his name. His name is our identification. His name is our authority. His name is our motivation. Whatever you do, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Our motivation is to glorify Christ in all that we do. I want you to know this morning, that's who we want to be. And by God's grace, that's who we can be. Amen. Those who would do all in the name of Christ. We want to exalt Christ in all that we do. And we want to do all for his glory. And as we go, we pray that you will know his grace, his love, his peace, his word, and do all in his name. What a friend we have in Jesus. Teresa, I want you to come up with me real quickly, please. For those who don't know, this is, as I introduce her, my first wife. When you do it right, once is enough. I'm sorry. We talked about this, but she wasn't sure I was going to do this.
I don't think that I can say it any better than Paul, so I'm just going to read it. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of our participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart. since in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. We love you so much.
Thank you, Tom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this sweet fellowship. God, thank you for the wonderful way that you have poured your grace out on each of us in this place today. Father, I pray if there's one here today that does not know you, that today would be the day that they would recognize your unconditional love for them. That in Christ, we can be forgiven. That all of our sin is separated as far as the east is from the west. Lord, that if we will confess our sin, that you are faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that, Lord, you said that whoever comes to you, you will in no wise cast them away, turn them away. So, Lord, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know you, today they'd come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for Christians here today, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts. Lord, help us to realize that time is brief, to live wisely, and Lord, to do all in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.